We are again grateful to the Lord that we can be here, and I had to think about it. How will it be on that day when the Lord comes? Will we all be among those taken up? Beloved, this is such a serious question. There is no question which comes close to it. If we miss this, then all our running, everything what we have done in vain, and the accusations which people will make themselves, who were counting on it to be with the Lord and yet will be left behind, they will be terrible. And there a deep woe touches us. And we ask ourselves, Lord, will it be me? Will it be you? That's how a song goes. Who enters the pearly gates as a victor? Who will dwell on the holy mount? Who will see the glory of God? These are questions which touch us above all knowledge. And we have heard it of the singers in the first song of the love, and the second, that we will be there. And when Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time and saw the paradise, he heard the words, only perfect love enters here. Only perfect love enters here. And this is a love which we cannot bring with us, which doesn't come by itself, but it must be the love of God, which was manifested on the cross. Who are we that God received us in such a mercy, that has forgiven us all guilt, and by grace he made us his possession? Who can grasp it? Only people who experienced it, who not only have received knowledge, but whose whole heart hangs on God with the last fiber of our heart. We hang on God and we say with David, and even I would go down to hell, you, O God, would be there and would take me out again. Oh, these men of God who have tasted the love of God, they knew that they can trust their God in every situation, that not by themselves they are saved, but that they look up to him of whom all salvation and grace comes. We think on relatives, on friends. We think on many whom we want to see with the Lord at all costs. May it cost what it costs. And the Lord has paid this price. Oh, that God would call the last ones out, pulling them out. You all know, no man can help himself. No one can take himself something unless it is be given to him by God. And who can glory then? What is left? Just a thanking and a deep worship in our hearts. Yesterday still follows me. I had to think about how many people, and among them great evangelists and preachers, they had Brother Branham around them, have heard him, but did not hear God. They looked on a man and did not understand that he was a man sent from God. This is the big difference. Our Lord said already then, he who hears you hears me, and whoever receives you receives me. Oh, what kind of words are these? And we have had the great privilege to hear everything what God wanted to say to us in these days. And we received this word of God in such a way as it was addressed to us, without interpreting it and without adding something to it. And I think that this will bring us to our destination. The same word which was at the beginning had to be now at the end. I also think about that this is the last day in this year, and each one of us examines himself in the presence of God. What could we have done better? And there are so many failures, so many opportunities which were missed out, which never return. And we want that God is merciful to us, that we can end this day not only with new resolutions and good intentions, but with the help of God, as never before, that the Lord could use each one there where he is. Not everybody needs to be a preacher of the word, but everybody can live out the word and can be a testimony for others wherever we might be. I had to, when it was spoken of the love of God, I had to think on the word which Paul addressed to his co-worker Timothy in the first chapter. In verse 5, here it says, the purpose of the preaching of the gospel is love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. This is the summary of the proclamation of the gospel. Not a knowledge about things, but a possessing of that what God has given us in Christ. And if we can succeed, or if God can succeed with us to all this, not only to show it to us, but to lay it in our hearts, that this intimate divine love could be with all of us. Yes, that it would be poured out through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. If we decide to love, and it is not the love of God which urges us and which guides us, then it's nevertheless still own works which will not stand its ground before God. Before God can only stand its ground what He could work in you and in me. Nothing of that, what we do, can stand its ground before Him, but only what could take place from the urge of His divine love that is in us. And also about this, we have to think about that it was divine love which has driven our Lord down to this earth. For God so much loved the world, and all who have been loved out through this divine love, they will be there. But we as believers do not want to be satisfied until we have experienced and received everything what God has promised us in His Word, so that we don't lack on that day when the Lord returns. And for this, also these meetings were arranged. You all know, in the morning and in the afternoon, we don't want to preach, but just to have fellowship with God and with one another. But let us, before we read some scriptures, stand up and pray together. Brother Rus, would you please pray with us? Faithful God, we thank you also for this morning hour, for your mighty presence. We thank you already for the blessing which you have given us already, and you want to continue to bless us, Lord. We are grateful for all brothers, for all sisters, for all who have come to have fellowship with us and with you, and to close this year and to start the new, O Lord. We thank you, O God, that you carried us until this moment as on eagle's wings. I thank you especially for my precious brother, whom you led through all the countries. Everywhere you made him a blessing, everywhere where he could help the people to come out of confusion, to come out of the mess. I thank you, Lord, for everything. Also that you helped us in the time when he was not here. You were here, Lord. We worship you, O God, and praise your wonderful name. We ask you now, Lord, continue to bless him, strengthen him, Lord, after spirit, soul, and body, Lord. Lord, we look up to you, for you are our help. That's how we read it. That's how David cried out. And so we may cry it out, Lord. You are our help. We persevere on your name, Lord. Praise be to you. Glory and worship. I pray, Lord, take everything out from our midst, from our hearts, which is not pleasing to you, so that we have open hearts and open ears to receive your word and to take it to heart, to believe it and to become grateful for it. Hallelujah. To your name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be unto you for all times and throughout all eternity. Amen. I would like to read some scriptures. The first one from the Gospel of Matthew. From chapter 10, from verse 40, here the Lord speaks of them whom he sends out. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. A day before yesterday evening and yesterday evening, we were pointing to that God has sent his servants and prophets. Through them he spoke, but that it were few who at their time received a divine sending, a divine commission, a divine message, and believed it, even in the days of our Lord. There were people who said, we know him and his brothers and his sisters. They dwell amongst us, but they did not know him. They knew him after the flesh, but not after the Spirit. And so there were people in this time who have not recognized the divine ministry. And here it is written, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. I have said it sometimes. Here it is not written, he that receiveth an evangelist, who receives a preacher, who receives some kind of preacher, but he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet. And a prophet is, of course, the mouthpiece of God. The word came to the prophets, and the Lord our God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And at this the spirits are separating. We are grateful to the Lord that he made the decision for us. that we didn't have to make efforts to recognize of what's all about, but that it has fallen into our bosom. We did not need to confer with flesh and blood. We didn't go to the scribes and Pharisees and asked them what they have to say about it, but we searched the scripture, and God has given us the answer through His word. And this is always the best, yes, the only correct answer. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, the Lord equipped His own whom He sent out with a mighty power of authority, and has said here in verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and says unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." The Lord not only sends out to preach His word, He gives His Spirit from which His word came forth, for it was the Spirit of God who inspired the prophets, and we need the same Spirit of God when we preach the inspired word. Therefore, he didn't say, build Bible schools, train each other, or imagine each other, but he gave the commission to preach his word, and connected with it, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. The proclamation of the word must be in conformity of the Spirit of God. Without this, it will be an own interpretation and no more the original proclamation of the word. In Acts chapter 1, perhaps second part from verse 1, Jesus began both to do and teach, and it was written down until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Also, this word belongs to it. He not only sent out, he not only called, but through the Holy Ghost, he had given his commandments, not my, not your, but his commandments, his commissions, his word, what matters. This he entrusted to them who should preach it. Beloved, whosoever has read the letters of Paul, he knows that he said, with fear and trembling we come on the scene. No self-confidence, just the contrary. An awareness that we will have to be accountable for every sermon which we ever preached. And if we then say what God has said, then most certainly we will stand our ground before Him. In Acts 20, verse 27, Paul writes, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I now think about how easy the ministry of Brother Branham would have been if he hadn't preached the whole counsel of God. If he had omitted all of these teachings and the revealed word, starting with the original sin about the Godhead and baptism and so forth. If all this about which people are stumbling, at which they took offense, if all this would have been omitted, then it would have been a message, but not the message of God. And therefore, we are grateful that this man of God had the courage. Yes, he was under a divine must. He had no own choice. He had to preach the whole counsel of God. We would say, was it of such a great significance? Yes, it was of utmost importance, and there was a separation made. And sometimes I want to quarrel with God that he has taken Brother Branham so soon home, and that now I have to suffer for everything. How much I would have liked him to be with us today. Oh, I wanted to sit in the last row and listen and let myself be blessed. But you all know, especially you old-timers, you know when Brother Branham went home, then they decorated his grave and they said, yes, that he is a man of God, this we know, but, yes, but the thing there which goes forth from Krefeld, let me say today, if it had gone forth from Krefeld, then I would close this book of God and send you all home. It didn't go forth from a city, but from God, who planned in advance, who has set the course for everything. And when I say it to you today, in April 66, nobody knew how it should go on. And when I then said to the brothers in Jeffersonville, what God has revealed and what now must be done, only then it, so to say, made a beginning. And we are grateful to the Lord that he included us into his plan. So, it didn't go forth from any man, from no city, from no organization, but it's a continuation of the work of God and of the plan of God in this time. When the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham on the 7th of May 1946 and said to him that he was sent from the presence of God to tell him all these things of what it is about now, then the end phase of the plan of salvation of our God took its beginning. And now it comes to the completion. It's of course not the effort of a man, but the word which went forth and which cannot return void unto God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul speaks to the church and by it addresses also us. From verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What a wonderful word! We know no man after the flesh anymore. This actually shows who is truly born again. Precious heart, if you have been born again, then you don't know yourself or anyone else after the flesh. Then you know your brother and your sister after the Spirit, and you appreciate it that God could create in a wretched mortal body something eternal and has born us again unto a living hope. But new things can only see he in whom himself something new has been created. This is the whole mystery. If the man is old, then he only sees old things. If he is new, then he sees the new. Then he sees the work of God in his brother and in his sister. And I have said it here before. I know my brothers at this place since many years, since 20, 25, 30 years. And in no one of them I have seen one single thing which I could have improved or had to improve. And I don't know how it comes, but they are without blemish in the eyes of God. Now, somebody might probably say, Brother Frank, is this really right, what you have said now? Yes, I repeat it, and I say it is right. And I tell you also why it is right. Paul writes to the church, receive ye one another, as God received you in Christ Jesus. And by this we respect and accept every brother and every sister, just as we are. Just imagine if I wanted to start to somehow rebuke my brothers. Honestly, I wouldn't know what to criticize. Earthly speaking, we are of different natures. Brother Schmidt says that from time to time, but that interests neither me nor anyone else. The earthly does not count at all. Their mentalities and everything else may play a role here, but here we read, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. May this divine attitude be really in all of us, without any efforts, that we could love one another wholeheartedly, just as God has loved us in Christ Jesus our Lord. You all know, when our Lord walked this earth and people came to him, not a single time he wanted to intrude in any man. He didn't take the woman to task who fell down at his feet and wept. He didn't ask, listen, how was your life? How was all this? Nothing like this. We have not yet fully understood the love of God. The Lord, to the woman at the well, he didn't ask her one single question. Not a single accusation he made. He didn't counsel her in a Catholic way. But he simply said, go and fetch your husband. And she says, I'm sorry, I have none. Yes, this you said right. Five you had. And the one you have now, this is not your husband. Already it was done with her. Her whole heart was touched. She received her revelation from God. And she ran into the city and said, come and see whom I have found. Is this not the Christ? He told me everything. Now, you could ask, he only said one or two sentences. And the woman said, he told me everything. Hallelujah. This was all she needed. More she didn't need at all. She was helped. The heart was opened. The revelation was given to her. He told me everything. Come and see and hear him. How wonderful that we may receive all this and know that God's work in Christ is a perfect work. And here it is written that nothing at all was imputed to us, and that in us the word of the reconciliation was laid down. All who were reconciled with God, they have the word of the cross in them and carry it as a living power of God in their heart. And the reconciliation which they received themselves is in them and with them. People who refuse a reconciliation, who reject it, they can see and say as much as they like. They didn't have an experience with God yet. We have to keep pointing to it, that there is only 100% secure evidence, and that consists in the fact that we test all things by the word of God. And not only all things, but first of all ourselves, whether we obey the word of God. You all know our Lord, who himself was the peace and the reconciliation. For his part, he hasn't done anything to anyone. And nevertheless, no one was so hated as he. No one was so smitten and stricken that his appearance was no more as the children of men. Mocked, despised, called as Beelzebub and all kinds of things. There was no one who had to accept what was done to him. And here we could ask ourselves the question, why did God permit all this? Beloved, I've said it already in these days. God made our salvation cost something. He took everything imaginable on himself, not deciding it somehow from his writing desk, but he came down to us in the likeness of man. He felt everything like we feel. He had to accept everything. Yes, he was smitten. He was spit at. Just imagine this. A hymn writer expressed it. Oh, head full of blood and wounds, full of suffering and shame. Oh, head bound in mockery with a crown of thorns. What do we expect? Our Lord says, if the servant is treated as his master, then he shall be satisfied. If we would not follow the Lord, if we didn't have to pass on the biblical truths which God gave through the ministry of Brother Branham now in the practical application of the church, then the devil would leave us in peace. But because the commission exists to not only pass on the things revealed by God, but to count with it that everything will be restored. And then we would all have to be baptized very deeply into the water bath of the Word. Not just a bit washing on the outside, but immersed in the washing of the Word, so that the last tradition and opinion, the last leaven being taken out, so that we 100% become the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, being penetrated by the divine truth, so that God can come to his right. He will make it with us. He will make it with us. Blessed be his name. We already caused him much grief. And nevertheless, he sees that all our heart has a desire for him. And that we have the longing to obey everything what he requires from us. He not only has given the promises, but he fulfills them also. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Are you not all happy that God has opened unto us the eyes, the hearts, the ears, yes, anointing it, so that we could recognize that a holy divine anointing was upon a divinely called prophet, and the anointing taught him everything. And the same anointing leads us into the same Word. Everything, the same Holy Spirit, upon the prophet and upon the apostles, and then of course also upon the church. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came upon all the church so that she can have full part in everything what God promised. And we have the privilege in these days to experience the end. And we believe that the end at least will be so as the beginning was. And we can also believe that it will be even greater and more glorious. For thus we heard it, that the rapturing faith must be worked in all of us. Also about this, I have no worry at all. The same God who has called us out, who has opened our understanding, who has spoken with us, who has revealed His word to us, who has laid this living hope into us, should He who started not also finish? It's of course so nicely written. On the seventh day, God completed His work, and then He rested. In the seventh church age, God completes the work with the church. And then comes our Lord and takes us home, and we'll be with Him at all times. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing two or three choruses before some brothers pray, or whoever feels being led to it. Yesterday, we sang the favorite chorus of Brother Branham in English. It was so nice. Your English is so fine that we really should do it again. You all know, the heart of Brother Branham was so filled with the love of God. He also has seen the Lord. And you can imagine what this makes with a man. And if he then has sung, "I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me," then these were not just words. Then this came from the bottom of his heart. "I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me." He loved us out. Oh, the love of God, so full and free from ancient times and always new. Let us sing now, "I love Him." Do it like Brother Branham did it, really, from the heart. Oh, the love of God, so full and free, from ancient times, and always new. It is here for you. It is for me. And draws us all to Him. On the other side, there is no sorrow. On the other side, there is only joy. On the other side, there one doesn't weep anymore. On the other side, stays our Lord. On the other side, there is no sorrow. On the other side, there's only joy. On the other side, there one doesn't weep anymore. On the other side, stays our Lord. I pray for a new experience with Him. Only through you I will be a victor. Give me your power. Reveal thyself anew to me. And veil me into your grace. I pray for a new experience with you, O Lord. Through you alone, I will be a victor. Give me your power and reveal yourself anew to me. And veil me in into your grace. The Spirit of God will move once again on the earth. To fulfill every word. At all places, God's Spirit will work in a wonderful way. The Spirit of God works now in me. God's Spirit is working now in me. Every promise is fulfilled. Every desire is satisfied. Come to the marriage supper. Everything is ready. He has fed already many. Come to the supper. Praise God. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for the grace which was granted unto us. Lord, as we heard it in the word of introduction, the counsel of the heathen you brought to nothing, but your counsel will stand. And you revealed it to your servants, the prophets, and to the apostles. And you included us into this divine counsel. Thank you, O God, that we not only hear of the redemption, but that we may be the redeemed. Faithful Lord and God, thank you that all the words of the scripture will find their fulfillment, and those who are pending, we wait for them, for they will surely come to pass, because God has spoken, and that's how it will take place. Blessed and praised be your wonderful and holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.